Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Shades of Shonda J. And as you can tell by the background noise, you're right. I am in my car. As I told you guys, riding in my car is the best time for me to record these, I'm going to go ahead and say it, daily episodes of season two. I started on March 1st, 2023, and I'm going to continue for the entire month of March posting daily episodes. I want to start creating a consistency for myself, disciplining myself to record these episodes so that you guys can see what's going on in my world. If you, this is your first time listening, my name is LaShonda Stevens. I am 43 and a half, actually. I will be 44 in July, and I am a married lady of one child, a daughter, London. My husband lives with us, of course, and we have been married for going on 12 years. So that's right. We have a 13-year-old. So that means we got pregnant and had a baby before we got married. We eventually got married when she was around two. And we have been together ever since. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, you guys. I want to talk about what happens at year 10 of marriage, or at least what happened at year 10 of marriage for us. So today's conversation is about year 10 in marriage and what that's like. Want to see what that looked like? Want to see what that looked like? So again, my husband and I got married October 22nd of 2011. Our daughter at that time had just turned two in August, so she was a little over 2 years old. And we were planning the wedding since probably the prior spring, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah, we had a date planned at first, or that I thought would be a good date, like in the summer, and then it got changed. So I don't know if I really wanted this episode to be about the proposal or anything. I just want to really talk about what happened. Let me just give you some background information just so you know. I am the oldest of four kids. In a previous episode, I told you guys that my brother is next to me. He's about 3.5 years younger than me. And my sisters are 2 years younger than him. So my sisters are about, you know, 5.5 to 6 years younger than me. And so my husband is actually the baby of his crew, and he doesn't have any sisters. He has all brothers. I'm not sure how much older than he is. His brother that's next to him. And I'm not sure how old his oldest brother is. But again, there's different dynamics. My husband is the baby. I am the oldest. So in theory, if you go towards stereotypes as far as eldest children go, we are the protectors. We are the nurturers. We are, you know, the guardians of our siblings. And the youngest of the crew are usually people who are the most nurtured, the most protected, the most guarded in the family. And so in theory, my husband being the baby and myself being the protector would gel to be a perfect relationship. And I would say, and mostly it is. It is a great relationship because my husband is truly a baby. And I don't mean that in disrespect. I mean that he is who he is. He was, you know, well loved and protected. So he knows what that feels like. While I am the protector, so it's so funny. There was a TikTok thing going around, like a little, you know, I can't think of the word. But anyway, where, you know, people were talking about, oh, my soft-spoken husband, and when people want to talk crazy to my soft-spoken husband, and then I come in the room and it's like, swing ho, you know, because, and that's basically who I am. Like, I don't let nobody talk crazy about and to my husband except for me, and even me, I be trying to deal with myself. So yeah, but so I would say the first half of our relationship, so like I said, we've been married 11 and a half, so let's say the first 5-6 years was truly tough. It was tough in the sense that I let a lot of things happen out of fear. I let a lot of things happen in our relationship as far as me taking up space physically, mentally, emotionally, and I even fell into some of those traps that all the women talk about, and that is expecting my husband to know and not really even giving him a chance to grow within the marriage. I just thought that he should know what I want. He should know what it is to be a husband. He should know what it is to be a fully present dad. He should know all the things. Not only because he was with someone who he helped raise their kid, you know, but also, you know, he was previously with someone who he helped raise their kid, but also because that's just the way that I thought it should be. Like, I shouldn't have to tell you to help with the chores. I shouldn't have to tell you that we need to buy groceries and I need your half of the money. I shouldn't have to tell you to spend time with your kid. I shouldn't have to tell you that if I'm struggling in the mornings, you need to be trying to find a way to help me. My husband was under the impression that if I needed help, I would ask for help. And me being the pioneering firstborn eldest daughter who was ashamed and fearful of asking for help, it caused a lot of toxicity in my marriage, if I'm being honest. Toxicity on both ends, because what I had to get comfortable with is if I needed something from my husband, I needed to ask him for that, because he had not been groomed in his life to anticipate needs of anybody else. Not just needs of a woman, just needs of anybody else. My daughter could need her diaper changed. My daughter could be hungry. Our daughter could need all the things, and he would just sit there as if he's not seeing her, you know? And I'm being very dramatic in that, like, he would feed the kid, but I'm saying there would be times when I'd be like, did you give her lunch? And he's like, well, she didn't ask for any. He was one of those kinds of people. And it's like, for a minute there, I was like, is my husband autistic? Like, I really need to get him checked, because dude, why would you think that a child would not be hungry? Not only does she need 3 meals a day, she needs snacks in between those. This kid is growing meat, she's growing bones, she's growing organs. Like, come on, dude, you know, wake up. Let me shake you out of this oblivion that you're in. And I honestly had to give him a lot more grace when I was really thinking about, I actually went to therapy about a lot of it. I probably did my first sessions in therapy in person with this lady, Dr. Miriam is who I'm going to call her. Miriam is her first name. But, you know, she kind of broke it down to me. She's like, LaShonda, you have to understand that it does not occur to him that you need those things. So you're going to have to ask. And the proud, self-starter, self-motivated person in me would not let myself ask this man for anything. Because let me give you some background about me. While I am the oldest of 4 children, I am also the product of a single parent home. My father has never contributed to my formative years. My father lived with us, I would say probably a period of 2 years in my entire life. And even then, it ended very toxic because he slapped my mom and she took him back to his people. She drove him back to his hometown because she was not trying to live her life like that. Because she said she was going to end up killing him if she put his hands back on her. So, you know. So, I grew up with a single mom. My mom worked very hard. She still is a hardworking lady even to this day. Fun fact, my parents have gotten back together after 30-something years. That's right. You got it, guys. My parents, my mother and my father, are back together. I am about to be 44 years old, and these folks have decided that they want to give it the old college try. Oh my God, it's insane, y'all. It's really insane. And that's a whole other thing. I'll do another podcast about how my mom thinks that her kids are her friends. And she likes to tell us stuff about our dad. And we're like, Mom, girl, get you some friends. So anyway, they are back together, but my dad was never there. And he had no cause to, he had no interest in being there. Yes, he spent a lot of years in jail, but also the years when he was not in jail, he had no interest in coming to see us or even be about our lives. I don't even think my dad knows my daughter's name. My dad was in my wedding to walk me down the aisle, and in order for him to be in my wedding, my dad had to be picked up by one of my aunties. She rented his tux. She made sure he got a shower and a haircut, and she made sure that he was present and accounted for at my wedding. My aunt Dolores is the one who did that. She and my Uncle John. If it were not for her, my dad would not have been a part of my wedding. At the time, my brother was in jail, so I don't know who I would have gotten to walk me down the aisle. I probably would have ended up getting Uncle Ricky or somebody to walk me down the aisle. But that's what happened. And so I just did not want to ask this man for anything because I was raised to not rely on men. That's what I'm getting at with telling you guys all of this stuff. I was raised not to rely on men. My mom had a few boyfriends in my grow-up years, but... And they were like extras, things that she kind of wanted but didn't necessarily need. Anything that we needed, she didn't rely on men to do that. My mom worked from sun up to sundown, and there were times when she had two jobs. But mostly she worked consistently, and so that required me to protect my siblings at all costs. That required me to step in a little bit and be more of a mother figure for them than... a sister to them. So it required a lot. There's a whole lot of therapy that I'm going through and have been going through to, you know, remind myself that these are my siblings and not my children. So I have to treat them as such and, you know, all those things. But honestly, that's part of the reason that it was hard for me to ask a man for anything. I never saw my mom like really asked men for anything, and if she did ask them for something, it wasn't something that was detrimental to her or her kids' lives. It was something that was just like, oh, you know what, I would love it if I could do this for the kids. That would be really nice, but I'm not gonna, like, you know, that's not something that they absolutely positively have to have, you know. So that's where I got it from.
Yeah, so there's just so many things that I've learned in this next phase of my marriage. I am glad that my husband is working on himself, and I'm glad that I was committed to, that I stayed long enough to see the change. You know, Beyonce has a song that says, you know, I'd be damned if I see another bitch on his arms. You know, like, somebody else is going to profit everything you taught. Somebody else is going to benefit from all the work that you did. And to commit to someone by marrying them and then, you know, putting in the time and effort and then eventually leaving, in my case, would have been not wise. Now, I can't tell anybody else to stay in marriages or stay in relationships or commitments to people when you are abused, when you are physically, mentally, emotionally abused, financially abused. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me, luckily I have enough history and enough, I guess, points with my husband that, you know, he eventually came to some understanding that it wasn't just about him. And honestly, if I'm really, really honest, I had hoped to shame him into seeing where he fell short. And I'm so glad that he is who he is and that he just did not allow me that space to do that, because not only would it have been embarrassing for him, it would have been embarrassing for me now. While it would have been embarrassing for him then, it would have been embarrassing for me now, because, I mean, the thing is, why would you stay with somebody who you're making fun of? How can you say you love someone when your aim is to make them look bad? You know, him looking bad to himself is something different than him looking bad to other people. And I know this is something that people tell you at weddings. They say, you know, keep your business in-house. And I think that's really what they mean when they say that, that they mean, hey, if you guys are going through some struggles, you guys need to work that out. Go to therapy, things like that. Don't tell your friends, don't tell your family, because your family and friends will only see them through the prism of the complaints that you have. They won't see anything else but that. And I never liked that mindset. I never liked when people would stand up at weddings and say that, because, you know, a marriage can be very isolating, especially if you've moved away from family, if you've moved away from friends. And for people like me who, like, I want my friends and family to be my core group, like my husband, my daughter, kids, you know? So I'm glad that he just wasn't in a space to see me publicize his shortcomings. And here's the truth. The truth is that I'm now recognizing where I have some shortcomings, because, you know, part of being one of the oldest kids or the eldest daughter and the eldest child is that, and especially if we are raised by a single parent and we have to take on adult responsibilities like babysitting and, you know, disciplining and things like that, that I told you guys about, we sort of, you know, have narcissistic tendencies. We sort of think that our shit doesn't stink. We think that we're the boss of everybody. We think that everything that we think in our minds and our brains is law, and there is no changing our minds. It's almost insane how little I knew the first 10 years of my marriage. You know, I remember actually, on our 10th wedding anniversary, we weren't speaking. As a matter of fact, this Valentine's Day, we weren't really in a good place either. But our 10-year anniversary, back in 2021, we weren't speaking. And I waited all day, because I'm petty, I waited all day to post anything on social media about it being our 10 year. It should have been a great day to celebrate. It should have been an awesome time, because, you know, it's 10 years. There's so many things that happen in your marriage at 10 years. Like, there's something great to celebrate, but we just weren't in a good place. And one of the things that I learned is that I really did need to change the way that I approached him. if somebody approaches me a certain way with a certain tone and a certain aggression, I'm not shutting down, but it is going to trigger me to have a certain kind of response. And for some reason, that wasn't translating to me in how I talked and to him. I just was like, I don't care if you yell and scream, just hear what I'm saying. But he couldn't hear anything that I was saying over the tone and the yelling and the cursing. And so I said to myself in year 10 that, you know what, I'm going to try something different just to see. And I spoke about this on TikTok. I was talking about how I bought these spoon holders, and I've had them for years. And every time I cook, I use spoon holders so that you don't get all of the food that you're cooking, like all the sauce and, you know, whatnot, all over your stove. And especially like if you have a ceramic stove, you don't want to get that stuff mixed up in your, you know, on your stove. It can be very hard to clean. It can make you scratch your stove if you're not careful. But for me, it's just like about being cleanliness. It's about being clean, and it's about cleanliness. So, you know, I was sick of my husband just putting the spoons on the stove. So I said, hey, babe, you know, I said, you know how I keep telling you that I want, and I said it in the same kind of tone that I'm speaking to you now. I said, hey, babe, you know, I think, you remember how I was telling you that I don't like it when you don't use the spoon holders? I was like, you keep doing it. And I was like, here's the reason why I want you to stop doing that. I want you to stop doing that because I want you to stop messing up the stove. You tell me that I speak to you like a child, and I don't want to be your mother, and I don't want to speak to you like a child, but I want you to respect when I'm asking you to do something that you do it in the same way that when you ask me for things or you ask me to do stuff, you want me to do it. And, you know, I said, now, was this disrespectful? Was this? And I wasn't being condescending or anything. I was literally, and I think I even asked him, you know, whether the tone was right in the beginning before I even started the message. So, because I feel like I'm coming off a little condescending right now, but I wasn't. And he was like, no, I don't, your tone isn't off. I was like, okay, cool. So, the next day after I had that little soft conversation with him, he did it again. I think he made breakfast or something, and he left the spoon on the stove. And so I, you know, at the appropriate time, not in front of our kid, you know, I had him in the kitchen, and I said, you remember yesterday when I was telling you about the fact that I want you to use the spoon holders and not put the spoons on the stove? I was like, you remember you telling me that my tone was fine? I was like, so when I yell and curse and be aggressive with you about doing certain things, you tell me I'm speaking to you like a child. I was like, but when I come to you in a nice, calm, not a big deal voice and vocalize to you something that I wish you would stop doing, you still do it. I said, so it makes me feel like no matter what my tone is, no matter how aggressive I am or less aggressive, no matter whether I'm cursing or not or yelling or not, you just still are not gonna do what I ask you to do. You're still just gonna do what you wanna do. I was like, and that makes me feel a way because you operate on me doing what you want me to do, but then you don't reciprocate by doing what I ask you to do. And somehow that made sense to him. And I feel like I've, over the past few months that since we had that conversation, I feel like there's been a change in him utilizing the spoon holder. Another situation, a reason that we weren't, you know, in a good space, Valentine's Day 2023, is because, you know, he wanted to go out of town the weekend. And he had mentioned to me earlier in the week that he wanted to do it. But I never confirmed that I was going. And I just mentioned to him that there was something else happening that, you know, might be a good reason to go out of town. And so when it you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything more about it on Friday. We woke up Sunday and didn't say anything to me about it on Saturday. I'm sorry. And so then Saturday afternoon, he goes, well, you know, we're getting ready. I'm getting ready. No, after he had already gotten himself ready, he, you know, was like, okay, what's going on? Why aren't you getting ready? And I'm like, I never agreed to go. And plus, you never said anything to me about whether or not you're going. I'm sitting here on a Friday night. You didn't say anything. You woke up Sunday. I mean, you woke up Saturday morning early, went and sat and watched whatever you wanted to watch on TV. Didn't say a thing. You came in the bathroom and took a shower, put on some clothes. You did not communicate with me. And I am someone, again, I am self-diagnosed ADHD. Plus, I'm a woman. I need time to get myself together. And if you don't communicate with me, I don't know what we're doing. And see, here's the thing. Here's where I made my mistakes in the past. When he would, at the last minute, want us to do something, or whether I was unclear about something that he wanted to do, I would jump. I would jump at the moment that he would remind me of something that he wanted to do, or something that he may have not even said to me. He would just, you know, go do. And I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. At year 10, I'm not doing that anymore. I cannot put all my stuff together in a sufficient amount of time for you because you did not give me enough advance notice. Sending me a text message on a Tuesday and then not following up with me any days after that, not even waking up that morning, the day of, and confirming with me what our plans are, and then expecting me to all of a sudden just like know that that's what you wanted to do, is not going to be our MO from now going forward. He was upset. And so, you know, he was just like, well, I'm telling you now. And I'm like, yeah, but you're telling me now after it's, you know, afternoon on a Saturday. I'm not going any fucking where. And I need you to understand that you can't just be dragging your family this place and that place at any random time that you feel like it. When you woke up this morning, that Saturday morning, you should have said, hey, babe, I'm going to, you know, do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm expecting you guys to get ready if you guys are going. If not, let me know. And I could have, you know, gone. And that's the thing. If he had communicated with me, he could have been down there on a Friday night. He didn't have to wait until Saturday. But his lack of communication is a consistent issue for me. And so I'm like, okay, well, dude, you need to communicate and communicate often. Not just, oh, I said it one time, that's it. No, that shit don't work. And it don't work with me. Like, I have hair. My kid has hair. We have things. We can't just, like, for me, it's a whole process when I'm packing. I like to pack everything in the event of, and especially if we have certain things that we're trying to do, you cannot expect from me, a 43-year-old woman, to pack for a weekend in 15 minutes. I'm not going to do that shit anymore. So we basically beefed. And when I say beef, I'm saying we didn't talk to each other all that week after that. Like, we didn't speak to each other that Saturday, Sunday, into Thanksgiving, even into Valentine's Day. And I'm like, you know, it is what it is. Because, you know, I'm setting boundaries. And the boundaries are, you need to communicate to me. You need to communicate with me. You need to not only tell me what you want to do, ask me what I want to do. Ask me if I'm cool with doing that. Don't just think that because you made a decision that I'm supposed to just ride with your decision. That's something I used to do in the past. I'm not doing that at this point. And you can either roll with it or you cannot. I'm telling you guys that I have driven with a toddler in a car for over 10 hours with this man. I mean, up and down I-85, I-77, and beyond. Just, you know, doing this. We gotta go to this wedding. We gotta go to this party. We gotta do this. I ain't doing that shit no more. So if you want your family to be a part of something that your extended family is doing, then what you're going to need to do is communicate enough in advance so that I can take the time off. If it's something that's going to interfere with my work, you're going to have to communicate with me often, because I don't have time to be remembering whose 38th, 58th, 60 something birthday party it is. If it's not outside, if it's somebody outside of your mom, your stepdad, my mom and my dad, or my siblings and your siblings, I'm not keeping that shit in my brain. And even if it's them, you need to still remind me. So, you know, we had it out. Saying all that to say, one of the things that I learned in this next phase of our marriage is that I need to set boundaries. And that's one of the things that I didn't do. I didn't set boundaries. I didn't even know I needed to set boundaries until my boundaries were being crossed. And I'm all triggered and angered and rageful because I'm expecting something that I haven't communicated. So the same thing that I'm now upset with him about, not communicating and not communicating often, I was doing the same thing. I wasn't communicating my feelings. I wasn't communicating what I needed. I wasn't communicating the boundaries and that in things that I needed to be able to be successful, and just wanting to please. And so now I'm less eager to please per se, but I'm more, you know, just intentional, like, hey, so that I'm not let down on Christmas or my birthday or whatever. This is something I want. This is what I want right here. I want you to get this. Go buy this. Because me just saying, me not saying anything is going to get me a Victoria's Secret collection or a Bath and Body Works collection. And I don't want that shit. So instead of you going and doing the regular Bath and Body Works, Victoria's Secret shit, no. Go buy me some flowers. Go buy me these bulbs. Go get me a puppy. Go take me, like, I don't really like surprises, but I do like somebody to be thoughtful about how they, I want somebody to just be thoughtful, honestly. Going to Bath and Body Works and going to Victoria's Secrets is so basic. That's shit that I was getting and doing when I was in college. I don't want to be doing that and getting that shit as a married woman of 12 years. Like, what? You can't think of anything else that your wife might want or love. No. Don't buy me any purses because you don't have the same taste as I do. Don't buy me any shoes because you obviously... My husband bought me some... patent leather red pumps, y'all, that I never wore. I made them take them back and I got something else. Now he did buy me a purse once. Well, he's bought me a couple of purses, but the very first purse he bought me, I wore it for a while, and I've had to say exactly what purses I wanted in order to get the things that I want. But again, I have to just be okay with communicating at every single juncture in my marriage or every event, because if I don't communicate, I'm going to be disappointed. I very rarely in my marriage have been pleasantly surprised. Like, my husband threw me a 40th birthday party, a surprise 40th birthday party. I didn't know a thing. I kind of suspected some things were a little weird, but didn't really think of it. And he did good. It was beautiful. The only thing that I didn't like about him surprising me is that I didn't invite all the people that I would have wanted to come. But you know, it is what it is. And then he has done some really thoughtful things, like, oh, we're going to go to the botanical gardens. And you know, he knows that I like plants. I'm a gardener and all of that. Those are probably the most thoughtful things that he has done, you know, for me. And I am grateful to that. My love language is works. So anytime anybody does anything for me that is very thoughtful, I'm forever indebted. And I know it kind of sounds like I'm just ungrateful, but I'm not ungrateful. I'm just somebody who you can't impress me by just doing the bare minimum. The bare minimum is going to the mall and getting some Bath and Body Works shit that, I mean, I have got a closet full of that stuff that I'm, even if I had three more kids, we couldn't possibly use up all the lotion and body spray and things like that before it goes bad. There's no way. I have way too much of it. So I don't want to buy anything like that ever again. Besides the fact that I have eczema and I have to be careful about using scents and things like that on my skin anyway, like, no, that's basic. So I don't want basic gifts. Yeah, I've learned, excuse me, I've learned in my marriage that because I did not grow up with boundaries, and I didn't have any boundaries for myself, I didn't have any respect for anybody else's boundaries. Could definitely go more into that, but essentially, my husband's boundaries were, no, I don't want to be on your social media. No, I don't want you really talking too much about when we're beefing and things like that. And, you know, I'm cool now, but, you know, it was a thing. Or, like, he didn't want to be in my videos and things like that. And a part of me did kind of feel like, you know, he was trying to hide. He didn't want to show that he's, you know, happy in his marriage and things like that. But we talked through some of that. He's just, you know, a very socially awkward person anyway. So I, for the time being, give him a lot of pass with it. So, you know, it is what it is. So again, what year, the first 10 years of my marriage, I learned that I'm not perfect. My husband's not perfect. Marriage isn't perfect. You know, living with someone isn't perfect. It is not what they say in the movies. That's not what life is. It can have those moments. It can have those fairy tale moments, but it's not a fairy tale all the time. In fact, marriage is a lot of dealing with yourself. Parenting is a lot of dealing with yourself. Dealing with you being triggered and how to move forward while you triggered. Marriage is dealing with someone's idiosyncrasies and their habits, hygiene, and all of that. And it can be very difficult to bend, especially if you're type A or if you have ADHD or, you know, you're on the spectrum. And, you know, but it's the thing is, and this is probably so cliche to say, the way to do it is just continue to communicate, and communicate often. I would even say, even if your communication is bad, like your communication is yelling and cursing and screaming, still communicate. Because I'm going to tell you, when I'm angry and I voice that I'm angry in the moment, I feel so much better than suppressing the anger, suppressing my hurt, suppressing my feelings, and then bringing it up at a later date. I don't do that shit anymore. So if he pisses me off, he's going to hear about it in real time. If he does something that hurts my feelings, he's going to hear about it in real time. Now, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like hearing about it in real time. But what I don't want to have happen is to be gaslit and to say, oh, I didn't say that. No, we're going to have it out right now while it's all fresh and while you can realize what you said and what you did. And so, you know, back to the Valentine's fiasco. So, I brought up to my husband, you know, when I was telling him about, hey, you need to give me more notice. And so when I was telling him that, he got upset and was, you know, he didn't like scream at me, but he kind of like, you know, got a little attitude, shook his neck a little bit, and even like raised his voice a little bit. And so I'm like, hold on. That's not acceptable. You want me to not curse at you. You want me to not
talk to you crazy. You want me to not be aggressive with you. You want me to have a certain tone, a soft, I'm going to be soft when I'm talking to you. Then you need to give me the same respect. And if you cannot do that, then I can be disrespectful too. Because remember, you know, I started this whole thing. I started this whole disrespectful thing, you know, not that I started it, but you know, that's when we had our biggest fights. When I used to just sit and be quiet and just take his little microaggressions and his quiet disrespect, there was no issue to him. I didn't benefit. He didn't see a need to change. But when I started yelling and screaming because I couldn't take it anymore, I had been suppressing so much, then that's when we started to have the biggest issues. But when I started actually saying something in real time and then minding how I'm saying it to him, while he still gets upset in the moment, he'll come back to me later and be like, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, I didn't want to make you feel like, you know, I was yelling at you or whatever. You know, I think me just talking to him and just making it logical, like, dude, you want me to give you respect, then you have to give me respect. It can't be a one-sided thing where you tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong when I'm communicating to you, and then when I communicate to you about things that I need and how you communicate to me, it you be shut down. Like, no, that it doesn't work like that. I need reciprocity in this bitch, you know? So he came back, you know, a few days after. We stewed for several days. So, you know, he came back, you know, several days after Valentine's Day and was like, you know, I apologize about that. And I accepted his apology. I'm like, okay. It's not, you know, as long as you recognize where you're wrong, you recognize where you can make those changes and you apologize, I'm cool. I'm cool. But when you continue on, or you go on, don't apologize, and you continue on making the same things, then you're going to lose your wife. That's what's going to happen. And you could lose your wife in a myriad of ways. You could lose your wife by, oh, she's not going to divorce you, but she's going to be thinking about somebody else and doing somebody else. Or you're going to literally lose your wife and get a divorce. So you got to be mindful of that. So if I had to say anything to any of the people out there in the world, and I know this is very raw and very candid and all that, but hey, you know, this is how I'm meaning to do this. I don't want to edit too much. I don't want to think about it. I just want to put it out there in the world, because there are lots of people, there are lots of women like me who are people pleasers, who get into marriages and we suffer. We suffer silently, and then it gets to a point where we're just like, fuck it, I can't take it anymore. And that's basically where I was at, probably around, I would even say around 7, 8, something like that. I'm like, I can't do this shit, dude. Like, I can't. I can't. So but luckily, and again, if I haven't said this before, I am lucky in that I have someone who is very logical when things are brought to his attention. He may not recognize them on his own. It may not occur to him, like Dr. Miriam said. It may not occur to him. So me bringing it up, me communicating, me, you know, bringing it to his attention, and then I guess him thinking about it, and he coming to a logical conclusion that he was wrong, or something may have come off that way. I'm lucky in that I have someone who is even willing to consider that they may have been wrong. You know, I was at one point thinking that my husband was a narcissist, and what I realized is that narcissists don't want to change. Narcissists don't want to, they don't even think about whether they are doing things wrong or whether they are hurting people's feelings or whether they, you know, they just move forward. That's what I gather out of my research. And so I don't think that my husband is a narcissist. I just think that he, after being the baby of his family and being taken care of and being protected and always being allowed to go first and do things that his middle brother and his oldest brother didn't get a chance to do, he just developed some tendencies that think that everything is his way and his way is the only right way, and he had no consideration for anybody else. And so in this marriage, my husband's task is to learn how to exist and to consider and be thoughtful of other people. And my task in this marriage is to ask more, to ask for help more, to communicate more effectively, and also to show love more, because my husband's love language, I believe, is physical touch. So, you know, I'm learning that. And so if I, again, if there were anything that I would say to all of you people who haven't been married as long as me, or even if people, if you've been married as long as me and you're still, you know, struggling with your partner, it's something, it's a bit of, you know, trial and error, but it's also about luck. And if you're married to someone who is amenable to change, then you are probably in a good place to be able to make some changes in your marriage. But if you're married to someone who never thinks their shit stinks and they have no want to make any changes, then you quite frankly should speak to a therapist, and you should probably consider leaving, because your health, your mental health, your emotional health, your physical health, and even your financial health is important to you surviving. So thank y'all so much for listening to Shades of Shonda. I'm Shonda, aka LaShonda, aka your home gardener, aka your couponing savings guru, aka your insurance agent and woman of the world. Make sure you go and subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to my channel on YouTube. Okay, my name is LaShonda Stephens, STEPHENS. And thank you, and happy Friday. Oh, and by the way, it's March 3rd, 2023, when this is being posted. Happy 20th birthday to my niece, my oldest niece, Alexis Tierra Johnson. Auntie loves you. Bye.